Right here, it separates that. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? That's your born-again spirit. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. You see that separation? The spirit of God knows not you. Your spirit knows what's going on in the inside of you, but the spirit of God knows everything going on in God. Everything God has for us. The Holy Spirit has that knowledge. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God. Now this is assuming, he's just assuming here that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most of the New Testament has that assumption throughout. Because he's assuming that when you receive Christ, you're going to receive this gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So you see there, he's talking about an illumination. The Spirit of God will reveal these things to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. You see there, he's saying the Holy Spirit will teach you the things that have been freely given to us by God. Spiritual things. He will teach us spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it takes the Holy Spirit revealing the Word of God to us. And so the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause the Word of God to be illuminated. Number three, these are the things that take place as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Being led into all truth. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And there it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you see there, God is intending to lead you by His Spirit. And then look at verse 16. The Spirit Himself, now here I want you to see another opportunity here to see the difference between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. All right? Your spirit, you are born again by the Holy Spirit, but then there is a teacher, a helper, a standby that comes into your life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. And right here, the scripture says in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Do you see the difference? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The main point I just want to point out there is that it's showing you the Spirit, not your spirit, another spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with us that we are children of God. He's speaking to you all the time in your spirit about who you are in Christ. God uses His Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Yes, you can be led by your spirit and by God without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, there is a great increase of the leading by the Spirit of God when you have the Holy Spirit present in your life. And in the next one, I want to bring up the next point about what the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings into your life is that He reveals the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals the Father and the Son to us directly. That's the main role that He has in your life when He comes into your life is to reveal the Father and the Son. When I say revealed, you say, well, I already know who He is. No, you really don't, and I don't either. We're just beginning to know who He is. When we accept Jesus Christ in our life, that's the beginning, and now He spends the rest of eternity unveiling the beauty and the depth of Jesus Christ and of the Father. And that's what He does. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 13, to see this. John chapter 16 says in verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So again, you see that principle we've already talked about. You see what His role is there. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. And look at the next verse. He will glorify Me. How does He do that? How does He glorify Jesus? If I come to you and I start telling you about me and I tell you about all my great qualities and my talents and all that, who am I glorifying? I'm glorifying myself, right? But if I start telling you about somebody else, you know, this guy that I know, man, this guy can, he's just unbelievable. You know, he's a great architect or he's this or whatever. And I start talking about him. What am I doing? I'm glorifying him. This is how you glorify somebody, is you reveal who they are to somebody else. You tell them about their greatness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies the Father and the Son to us. He's the one that reveals. I pray to the Holy Spirit all the time, show me more of Jesus. Show me more of the Father, because that's his role. I can't find out the Father on my own. I need to seek it out in the Word. I need to seek it out through the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father to me. Okay, now. That's good. Joshua just felt like he got this by the Spirit of God. It's really good. That is probably why there is so much resistance to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The enemy working against anyone receiving and believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because his job is to reveal the Father to you and to reveal the Son to you. And that is exactly the opposite of what the enemy wants. That's great. That's good. You know, there is a lot of resistance to it, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, half the body of Christ still has not received a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yet the scriptures are so clear, abundantly clear, that it is what God has for us. That makes perfect sense. That's one reason the enemy would fight against us so strong. He does not want the Father revealed to you. He wants you to believe all the lies that he has for you about who the Father is. He's that big ogre that's keeping everything good from you. Praise God. That's good. That's a good word. Amen. So, I'm just going to wrap it up with this. This is one point I really wanted to get to. This is one of the greatest ways. I'm going to talk to you about pressing in. For those who have already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe you've had it for years, or you just received it last week, or you still have it. I just want to talk to you about how to press in to receiving more of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit has for you. And that is the greatest way I know of to press into this is through the gift of tongues. It is like the key that opens the door. Or as that verse I read earlier in Proverbs, it's like the wise man drawing the wisdom out. It's like the speaking in tongues is like the bucket that you send down into the well and you draw the waters out by speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is an incredible, beautiful gift from God for all of his children. And I know there's a lot of resistance to it. I just encourage you, don't just roll with your opinions or your thoughts or what you've heard from other people. Get into the Word of God and see if it is real. And if it's real, go for it. Receive this beautiful gift from God. Now, to press in, you know, one major problem with the people who've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you think that just receiving it is it. That's it. I got it. And then you're like, okay, I don't know. I don't really notice any big change or whatever. And you kind of wonder what's going on. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't, even though it is an event to receive it, the event isn't the thing. That's not the whole thing. That's just like you just received it. Now you've got to press into it. It's like somebody receiving a gift of, let's see, you receive the world's most outrageous, beautiful car. A Rolls Royce, right? There you go. Someone brings you a Rolls Royce and you receive it and you say, yeah, I've got a Rolls Royce. And you decide, you know what? I'm going to take this thing for a spin. So you get in the car. Yeah, man, this is cool, man. And you take it for a little spin around the block. And then you park it in your garage and you're like, yeah, man, I got a Rolls Royce. Yeah. And then later someone comes and talks to you, and you know, a lot of people receive this beautiful gift, you know. And they say, hey man, did you get the Rolls Royce? Yeah, man, I got a Rolls Royce, man. I'm like, cool, are you really enjoying it? Are you getting a lot of benefit out of it? Isn't that car awesome, you know? Yeah, man, I've got a Rolls Royce, man. Well, are you like enjoying it? I mean, are you getting the benefit out of it and stuff? What exactly are you doing? I mean, are you helping other people with it? And Yeah, man. I've got a Rolls Royce, man. Where exactly is your Rolls Royce? It's in the garage, man. And that's what people do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive this gift, you park it in the garage, and that's it. It's just sitting there. No idea what this thing can do for you. You can take it around. I mean, it'll take you to the grocery store. It'll help you transport other people. You can bring people to church in this beautiful Rolls Royce. You know, it's a very limited analogy I just came up with because, I mean, what else can you do with a car? But, I mean, it's a great tool, right? It'll take you across the country. I mean, you can do all kinds of great things with this Rolls Royce. It's got power, man. It'll take you places. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the same way. You receive it, and you're like, yeah, man, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man. And then you don't do anything with it. Well, how do you do something? How do you activate the gifts and the benefits that come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The greatest way I personally know of is through praying in tongues. And what this will do is it will cause you, well, let me go into a couple quick benefits of what it'll do for you. I've got about 3 minutes to do it, so listen quick. Write some scriptures down. Number one, it brings rest and refreshing. Isaiah 28, verse 11 tells us this. Yes, I like that. Isaiah 28 and verse 11 says this. This is an Old Testament scripture talking about tongues. For with stammering lips. Now, for those of you who speak in tongues, sometimes you find yourself, your tongue sounds something like da 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 da, you know, and you can't seem to really form words. I just want you to be encouraged by the scripture. It talks about with stammering lips. And oftentimes my tongues will switch. I'll be praying in tongues sometimes for hours, and I'll switch languages, just instantaneously switch to an entirely different language. It's very obvious when you're talking a language that's speaking in a language that sounds kind of Chinese, and then it switches to like a Latin American tongue. It's a real obvious difference. And then, you know, and sometimes I'll go into the tongue that's, it can be, can almost seem a little frustrating because it's just like, it's, you know, it's not really words. And but this scripture right here even talks about with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now, in case you think, I don't think that's talking about speaking in tongues, we have a scripture that proves that it is, and that is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. I won't take the time to turn there. Paul references this scripture of the Old Testament talking about speaking in tongues. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. And he says, yet in the church I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding than 10,000 words in another tongue. And then he quotes this scripture. So we know he's talking about speaking in tongues. All right. The next one, it communicates the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Write this down. 1 Corinthians 14:2. And Luke 8:10. It communicates the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In 14:2, 1 Corinthians 14:2, I'll read that one to you real quick. He says this, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What happens is there is an enormous amount of mysteries, meaning things that we don't understand going on in the kingdom of God, and God intends to reveal them to you. It's not meant to be kept a secret. He says, I will reveal them to you. Jesus says it this way to his disciples in Luke. Can you get this one up there for me, Louie? Luke chapter 8, verse 10. And when that gets up there, you guys tell me when it's up there. And in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, if you speak in tongues, you're going to speak out the mysteries of God. You don't understand them as you're speaking them, but they're being revealed to your spirit. And in Luke 8:2, I'll just look that one up. Sorry, Lou, I know I just threw that on you in the last minute. Well, I don't have time. Let me just, you just look it up. Luke 8:2, Jesus says that it has been made unto you to know the mysteries of God. In case you think, well, I'm not supposed to know them. They're mysteries. No, they're not being held from you. They're being held from the world. You are made to know the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14:8. Okay, there it is. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says this. You give thanks well. When you speak in tongues, you're giving thanks well. And the last one, 1 Corinthians 14:13, that it brings supernatural insight. Man, there's so much more I wanted to talk to you about speaking in tongues and how to get that activated. Let me just encourage you to press in. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was 2 weeks before I spoke in tongues. I didn't feel anything when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just prayed, received. And I was like, okay, I was expecting something a little more than that. And I just kept asking the Father about it. And then someone ended up talking to me, helping me out. And I realized it was my own belief that was stopping it. And that day when I just kind of denounced all unbelief, I just said, Father, I thank you. I've received it. And I just kind of relaxed into it. And I just said, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. And then as I sat there just quietly, words started wanting to come up, and I noticed it, and I just let it go. I just got my unbelief out of the way, and I just started speaking in tongues 2 weeks before anything happened. I know other people have gone a couple years, but it's just us. We're the ones stopping it. You are able, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to speak in other tongues. And then I would just encourage you, do it a lot, all the time. Paul says this, and I'll wrap it up with this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, how could he say that? He doesn't really know how long everyone else speaks in tongues. Obviously, he spoke in tongues a lot, like every waking moment. Because he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So don't even talk to you. Don't even talk to me about speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues more than all of you. He was given instructions. He was just saying, I'm just saying, when you do it right. Amen. So press into it. And then that's that.
As we're wrapping here, I just want to ask a couple quick questions to Brad. A lot of people have an objection, 1 Corinthians 12, okay. And you can just go, I know you know the objection, so I just want to...
I meant to ask you, Steph, can we not both be on at the same time? We can? Okay, good.
So 1 Corinthians 12, do all have gifts of healing? Do all? Can you just answer
that? Okay, that's great. You know what he's talking about, that scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asked this question. I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? All right, the answer to every single one of those is an obvious no. We're not all apostles. We're not all prophets. We're not all teachers. So therefore, you would have to conclude, therefore, we don't all speak in tongues, right? Well, if you back up a couple of verses, he says, and God has appointed these, listen, in the church. That's the key words. Those three words, in the church. He's talking about the operation of the gifts in the church. That's why you can go over to 1 Corinthians 14 and see this bear out. Starting verse 18 and 19, Paul says this, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, right? So he's saying when you're in the church, if everyone's speaking in tongues, it'd be total chaos. He says, so do we all speak in tongues? He's talking about in the church. No. And then later in chapter 15, he clarifies, he says, if you're going to have tongues in the church, let one speak in tongues and then let another interpret. Then let one more speak in tongues and then let another interpret. He's talking about how to bring order in the body. Does that make sense?
All right. And the and I would give to that is he's also speaking of offices. So in 1 Corinthians 12, he's saying, are all prophets? And the obvious answer is no. But in 1 Corinthians 14, he says that you should desire earnestly, that you should prophesy. And then Peter declares in Acts chapter 2, he's reinforcing what Joel prophesied about, that my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. So we are all to prophesy, but we are not all to have an office or that specific office of prophet. And so there really is a moving and a flowing of the gift of tongues that's used evangelistically, that someone would be flowing in the gift of tongues. That's actually an evangelist gift that is given in that moment. And there's also the gift that's just simply a prayer language for your own personal edification. And what I would say to you is this. Every setting that I've been in where people believe that the gift of tongues is for everyone, you have, 75% of the people, 85% of the people who speak in tongues. Because they just, oh, okay, cool, I can get that gift, I'll take it. And most people grab onto it and do it. And then in settings where it's like, well, it's not really for everybody, most people don't. And so here's what I would just encourage you in, is that it's a gift that Paul so encourages in 1 Corinthians 14. Read the chapter. In fact, at the end of the chapter, it says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. I've had to sign a document for an organization that is a godly organization that said you must not speak in tongues if you're going to do this particular trip. I signed it just because I wanted to honor them. But that's way more unbiblical than this question. We have all these objections. I just want to say, listen, set the objections to the side. Either the Word of God is the Word of God or it's not. And the Word of God, read the chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, almost the entire thing is about speaking in a spiritual language. The word tongues is weird. It's Old English for language. We held on to it. I don't know why the NIV held on to it. They shouldn't have. Tongue is means language. Which tongue do you speak? Oh, I speak French. Which tongue do you speak? Oh, I speak, you know, Spanish. No. Which language do you speak is what we now use. It's just a spiritual language. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14, all Paul does is he says, why do you do it? So that your spirit is edified. Is my mind fruitful? No, it's not. My mind does not understand, but my spirit does, and it's edified. And so just want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of people all over the board. Press into the Word of God, what the Word of God says, and reject any teaching that goes against the Word of God, period. Don't reject the man or the woman or whoever's told you, your mom or your dad or your pastor for 30 years. I mean, I could honor this particular ministry I was a part of all summer long. I could honor them even though I believe they asked me to do something that was anti-script, that was against the Scripture. I still honored them. So just because someone tells you to do something that is actually not within the Scripture, you can still honor them. Even while saying, you know what, I'm going to press into the things of God. And speaking in a spiritual language is one of those. So more to be said. And we'll just wrestle with it. Yeah, you have a question? Speak to that? Is that the same section that we just did?
No, it's It is different. Yeah, here it is specifically, am I on? Okay. Here it is specifically talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit. And so again, this is the operation of the gifts, and it's going to be in the church or amongst the body. It's talking about how to minister to other people. And here it specifically ends it with saying in verse 11, as He wills. The Holy Spirit will move as He wills. Again, this is to be separated from the personal. You'll notice, for example, one of those gifts is the gift of faith. All right? So does that mean none of us have faith unless He wills to give you that faith for a particular moment? Obviously, no, that's not the case. We all have faith. It says it was given to each one of us the measure of faith when we accepted Jesus Christ into our life. God gave to each one of us the measure of faith. We all have faith. This is not talking about that kind of faith. It's a different kind of faith. It's a special endowment of faith that comes on you to do a really outrageous act, a powerful act in someone's life. Does that make sense? It's an additional, it's an endowment. And in the same way, tongues here, even though tongues are mentioned here, this is talking about the gift of tongues. Like when you're in a church, which you'll know, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll know He's saying, I want you to speak out in tongues. It comes on you very heavily and then you'll speak out in tongues. That's the gift of tongues as opposed to the personal prayer language that He gives to you that Paul encourages every single one of his, you know, the followers, pray in tongues, do it all the time. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in My name. They will speak in new tongues. So there's a personal prayer language where you can speak in tongues, and then there's the gifts that comes on people as a temporary endowment to do a particular work. And that's what the nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are talking about.
If you've ever been in a setting, and most of us haven't because it's not doesn't function very often, but if you've ever been in a setting where someone just begins to blast out in a tongue, in their spiritual language, you feel a little uncomfortable because you know 1 Corinthians 14 says we're not to do it publicly. However, we are to do it publicly. When there's an unction on the person to speak out in their spiritual language, and guess what will happen? Guaranteed. Can anybody guess? Someone will have an interpretation that's not, again, we've had this happen. We had it happen one time. Person busted out in tongues, just like, shut up! And I don't even know if they've ever done that. I mean, just right, and I was like uncomfortable, like, oh, crud. Like, you know, no one's going to come back here next week, you know, so I'm freaking out. And then another girl who's never even understood what interpretation is says, I just heard what that meant. She gives, was anybody here when that happened? I mean, it was powerful. And so we've only had it happen once, but I'll tell you what, I believe we'll probably have it happen more. But it was powerful. And again, is it weird? Man, the cross of Christ is weird. It just is. I mean, that's what Paul says. It's all kind of weird if you want to get down to it. So it's just, there's just something to be said about releasing our control, releasing our, I think there's even something in the heart of God that he offends us. He offends our pride with this goofy gift called spiritual language. It's goofy, but I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm telling you, just lean in. This is the order of the service. It's the first time we've done this, so I don't want to blow through worship. So we're just gonna cut it right here. There's a lot more, but you know what? We've got a lot more days and weeks. Let's wrestle together. Let's talk to each other. Let's be gathering. Let's phone call each other. Let's get in the Word. Let's be Bereans who search the Scripture. This isn't our only moment to get in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. This isn't the only moment to kind of dialogue with one another and challenge each other. And even if you're in disagreement, I bless you. Disagree. Go in the Word. Wrestle with other brothers and sisters of what the Word says. And let's together get into what God has for us to get into. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to continue with tithes and offerings. So, thank you, Father, for the opportunity to give. And as that basket goes around, if you're visiting, just let it pass you on by. If you're not visiting, do what you feel before the Lord you're supposed to do. How's that? We're just going to let that roll.
That was a great place to do a Q&A. I know we didn't mean to, but that was great.
Yeah. We've got a couple things. We're going to have Stephanie share. Where's Stephanie? Come on up. And she's going to share a pretty exciting kingdom thing that's going on in her life. And here's what I love about, we're having different folks, different points share, and here's the whole point. People who are saying yes to Jesus. And guess what? There's 150 of us in here or so. Each one of us has a different way that we're saying yes to Jesus. Some of us aren't saying yes to Jesus, and we need to be, because that's the only place there's life. But when we hear someone else saying yes to Jesus, they're laying their lives down. They're saying, I want to go after God. It does something. And so let Stephanie's story stir something in your heart.
Okay. Here we go. Let me establish a few things. This is not about me. I need you to know that, please. Secondly, that this is all gift from God. This is pure gift, and it is precious. Another thing, just as I'm speaking, remember what it is the Lord has placed on your heart. There is a gift that he has so uniquely designed for you. It is in your DNA. So please remember, let the Holy Spirit spark that. That is so uniquely his gift to you. So first, last Sunday, just got back from Mali, Africa with my parents. Really special, really special time. Medical missions. It was there in Mali. And this verse speaks to, currently I'm waiting. In what we're doing with the gifts that God has given to us, we're waiting for the full fruition of what he has promised will happen. But as for me, I will look to the Lord, and I am confident in him. I will keep watch. I will wait in hope with great expectancy for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Here's the thing. It is active, you guys. The gift that the Lord has given to us is precious, but we have to be active in seeking it out. We cannot just sit on our hands. This has to be active. And the way of doing that is being present to the Holy Spirit, is digging in deeper than we have the capacity for. So I just want to keep going. So go ahead. Yes, this, about 3 years ago, I was in Mali, Africa, on the same medical mission with my dad. And the missionary I was staying with showed me a picture, the picture far right, top right, Oscar de la Renta dress for $2,500. It was in that moment that I just heard the Lord say, whoa, and the missionary said, this very village is where they make this cloth. And so I knew of what's going on at the hospital, the Women's and Children's Hospital, and I knew of this. I had studied at the London College of Fashion, and so my mind was just reeling with what could possibly happen. So I started researching, bottom right, I started researching the fabric. And the Lord just pressed a whole business proposal. This is what has to happen. I have no resources. Can I tell you? I don't know about you. But I have the abundance of God. And he will do what he promised. I'm still waiting for that business to someday come to fruition. It hasn't been time. But I have tried all that I had in my power to step one step ahead. I would pick it up. This business in particular, I would pick it up. And then nothing would happen, so I would have to lay it down. And that it's a hard process saying, okay, again, I will press forward. I will do all that I can. And again, nothing would happen, so I'd have to lay it down. I got exhausted. This is above my expertise. I don't know anything about import taxes. If you do, raise a hand, please. Okay. Your gifts will be used. No. So eventually what I had to do while I was studying at Ohio State, the Lord called me to start learning about African women's issues. And not just, oh, this is the continent of Africa. No, go deep. Learn, what do these women struggle with? What is it that they daily carry? These are women who keep the continent rolling. The emotional fortitude of these women, and the hope and the faith and the courage is stunning. So here we go. Last February, I was still researching companies I could kind of piggyback with what they were doing. In Washington, D.C., I went and met with Amani Yaju. It means peace from above. And it is a sewing project in Kenya, Burundi, and Rwanda. And in that place, I heard their hearts to bring restoration for refugee women through a place that they could come and be peaceful, a place that they could come and heal together, a place that they could say, hey, I am hurting. I have been war-torn. My children have been taken from me. I haven't seen my husband. Help. And now all they have to do is turn to X, Y, and Z, prostitution and other, just to survive. And these are godly women, brothers and sisters. These are women whose hearts are for the Lord. And so at this point, when I was visiting Amani Yaju in D.C., it was just like, I get their hearts. I get what they're doing, but we're kind of doing different things here. So nice to meet you. See you later. And so I heard nothing from February. This October, I got an email that said, Stephanie, would you be interested to come and design for us a fashion show in Liberia? Wait. Hold the phone. Like, the Lord knows me. He knows my heart. He knows the gift that he has given. The same to you. He knows you. He has given you those gifts. It is not foreign to him. So here is the intended fashion show date, March 2011, in Monrovia. This is Corto Mamulu's designs. She is a project runway designer that the Lord has asked to come, and she is coming. I don't know if she's in the Lord or not, but she's designing the whole collection. God is good. He has a whole nother plan than what I ever had in my heart. This is his dream. This is his baby. So it's really exciting. In Sankofa, the show's name means looking back but moving forward. So the women remember the 14-year civil war they just survived in Liberia. 7 years ago it ended. It's finally safe enough for Amani to be in Liberia. So they're reaching and extending to the Liberian women. We can go to the next one. Here in Columbus, Ohio, on February 26th, we have the honor of having Corto Momolo come and show her fall collection for this coming fall at the Athletic Club of Columbus at 7 p.m. This is our God. This is pure gift. And I'd be honored to have you all partake in that. And thanks for listening.
Let's go ahead and stand as we, Stephanie, that was beautiful. And there's something with just having people who are doing kingdom work. I believe actually several of you got stirred even listening to her things, deep callings stirring up. How many of you just, you could feel something really stirring as far as your particular calling? Raise your hand if that happened. It's good. That's the whole point. We're to be a people who are allowing the Lord to provoke us and stir us to do the things that will bring him the most glory. And he uses the way we're wired and the way we're gifted. As we enter into worship, I want to take a moment and just honor a church called Awaken. Awaken, right? Am I saying that right? And if you're, who's here from Awaken? Raise your hand. Okay, so they're all congregated over there. So I believe this is a kingdom thing, and that it's not about Awaken or the Village Vineyard or Billy Bob Church or whatever. It's about the kingdom of God. And I think it's awesome that Awaken, where are you guys meeting?
Neil and Forth.
They meet at Neil and Forth Sunday nights. Go and visit them. Go and visit them. Yeah. Bless them. Just support them. But this is another group of people who love Jesus and who are seeking to extend the good news of Jesus to this neighborhood. And so we just want to honor Awaken. We want to honor. Is Chris here? Chris, oh, you're right there. Hi, Chris. Chris is the lead pastor of this church, and we just want to honor you, man, for responding to the call of God on your life, and just the gifts that you have not allowed to remain dormant. It's a really it's a sweet thing, and so let's just extend our hands to Chris. And Father, thank you for Chris. We just pray your blessing, Lord, your blessing upon him. We thank you for the gifts, and Lord, I've only met with him once, but Lord, he's got a heart for you. He's got a heart for you. It's so evident. And so, Chris, in the name of Jesus, in the strong name of Jesus, we bless you. We bless you. Just say, just whatever I've gotten through bad mistakes, I pray you'd get just by grace. I pray that Holy Spirit, you'd pour out on Chris. That you'd fill him with all that he needs to be the man he needs to be before you, to be the husband, to be the leader, Lord. Would you pour out upon Chris? Thank you for this man. Thank you for your son. Thank you for this obedient man who wants to do your will. We bless you, Chris, in the strong name of Jesus. And let's, just as the Village Vineyard, let's just extend our hands just to this whole section. So we'll just assume the whole section's Awaken. Father, we pray your blessing on Awaken, that you would bless this church, that you would cause it to be so full of your spirit, so full of life, that people would get radically saved, radically set free, radically brought from darkness into light, that you would raise them up as a light, Lord. You'd raise them up in this neighborhood to be used powerfully, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have called this church into being, and Lord, that you are going to build this church, that you, Lord Jesus, are going to build Awaken. So we just speak blessing, blessing over this church in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Let's worship.